This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you to the latest episode of The New World Next Week, our weekly video series where we go over three stories in a pertinent, bite-sized fashion, accessible to everyone. We have a whole lot to go over this week, and we're going to get right into it with a story that kind of hits Media Monarchy perfectly by way of Reuters. Fake report of Russian tanks sparks panic in the country of Georgia. Panic gripped Georgia on Saturday night when a pro-government television station broadcast a fake news report that Russian tanks had entered the capital and President Mikhail Saakashvili had been killed. Imedi TV, and that's I-M-E-D-I, Imedi TV introduced the report as an imitation of possible events, but the warning was lost on many viewers as mobile phone networks crashed and residents of Tbilisi rushed into the streets. The report thrust the ex-Soviet neighbors back to August 2008, or 888, when Russia crushed an assault by U.S. ally Georgia on the rebel region of South Ossetia in the five-day war and sent tanks within 28 miles of Tbilisi. I've included, of course, the flashback link on Media Monarchy to August of 2008 with a more pertinent headline, U.S. attacks Russia through client state Georgia. We don't have time to really get into that, but this story I find really important and is something that I've gone into on Media Monarchy, on the radio show a bit. When it concerns these sort of War of the Worlds type PSYOP events, and one of the CNN clips that's included in the documentation on this posting references Orson Welles in War of the Worlds. You can also think of Wag the Dog. But any sort of media event that is fake, that is created, that is meant to manipulate the masses. James, you and I were talking off mic just before we started this recording about, on the one hand, I sometimes assume now that with more media that people are more media literate. But unfortunately, I don't think that's the case, and I worry that we're ripe for the pickings from some kind of fake PSYOP War of the Worlds event.
Absolutely. Well, why stage an event when you can just simply just say that it happened and get people to believe it? I mean, it's kind of unthinkable, really. But it does go to show the extent to which we just simply rely on media to get our information unproblematically, and we simply don't question what's going on. And you're right; it very much was a War of the Worlds type situation from what I've heard from the various stories that are out there of people seeing this on the news and then running out into the street, you know, looking for the tanks and the war going on and not finding anything. It's at least probably a good wake-up call for the people in Georgia that this type of thing goes on. But certainly it goes on in the West, too, and I'm sure we've all seen there was an early Alex Jones movie where there was some sort of news report going on about a fake drill that was being done. I can't remember what type of drill, some sort of like explosives were going off in Austin or something like that, but it was a fake report that was being put across the news as being real, and he went and bullhorned it. So,
well, and I think in that case, as the same as in this case, that it's very important for us to not, you know, crash it if we can, or at least bring attention to these fake events being pulled
off.
That's
exactly right. We have to, we just can't sit back and just accept this sort of thing. We have to expose the fraud when it happens. So it's a good thing that some attention has been brought to this particular case, especially given that Georgia is just the U.S. client in the region. So it's good to see that even the U.S. media is picking up on this story a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So for our second story, we haven't covered economics issues, I don't feel, very recently here on The New World Next Week, so I think it's incumbent that we do, and especially in this case. AllGov.com asking the question, what did Geithner know and when did he know it? Lehman Brothers managed to conceal from the outside world a multi-billion dollar mess that was years in the making, according to an audit investigation released last week that I believe runs in the neighborhood of 22,000-plus pages. But the size and scope of Lehman's manipulative accounting has led some to wonder, some Wall Street critics and others to wonder, what the New York branch of the Federal Reserve, led by current Secretary of the Treasury Timothy Geithner, to wonder what he knew about the scheming that eventually led to the venerable bank's collapse in 2008 as we, of course, ushered in the new administration and ushered in the new financial world order. So this audit report is written by Anton Valukas, the United States trustee in the Lehman Brothers case. We have a lot of documentation provided for you here on MediaMonarchy.com. Links to some other great blogs, Zero Hedge, as well as Naked Capitalism. And what Naked Capitalism gets into, and we'll quote, it also emerges that the New York Fed, and thus Timothy Geithner, were at minimum massively derelict in their performance of their duties and may well be culpable in aiding and abetting Lehman Brothers in accounting fraud and violations of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002. The video that we have from MSNBC is the Dylan report. I forget the full name. It's embedded Radigan. There for you. Radigan. Dylan Radigan. Thank you. They bring in Elliot Spitzer, former governor of New York, former all the other things. When they bring in Spitzer and they begin to talk about the Southern District of Manhattan and all of these things, it immediately brought to mind our friend Richard Grove. He details this and so many other things in the new documentary, 2020 Hindsight, even going back to his earliest work in 2006 called Project Constellation. So, James, what's your quick take on this Lehman Brothers-Geithner situation?
Well, some of the details about exactly what Lehman was doing in order to fool people into thinking they had more money than they really did, some of those specific details may be over the heads of people out there who aren't into these types of banking stories, but allow me to summarize it. Sorry?
Even myself sometimes.
Exactly. It can be a bit confusing, but I think the summary of this story would be they are crooks. They are stealing money from you. So that's pretty much the way I would summarize it in two sentences. And
yeah.
And I think people should be getting angry, and definitely Geithner should be worried for his position at this point. But just given where the public is, I'm not sure he should be, really, because I don't think there are people who really understand that he is part of the system that is scamming you.
He was appointed to the Secretary of the Treasury position by our new change-alleluia, Obamasiah. For our third and final story on this week's New World Next Week, we're going to hop over to one of my other sites, cyberspacewar.com. For initially one article, but it's all interconnected, and it's from a site called dodbuzz.com, and it's one of those sites that I like to watch because when things kind of seem to come from the inside, they never met a black op or a war crime they didn't like, so they're very upfront about things. Black cyber operations on the rise. Black cyber operations have become all too common, launching highly sophisticated cyber actions against their targets that go undetected for months or years. Now, a brief definition. A black operation is generally accepted worldwide by militaries and intelligence agencies to represent specific types of covert operations, typically involving activities that are either secret or of questionable legitimacy and often violate international law and demand deniability. They go on to, of course, immediately reference the evil Russia and the evil China and the hacking that they've been doing throughout the decades. But the interesting thing, and what this article references, and what the BBC piece also references, fielding a cyber army, again, talking about cybercom, and we've discussed this many times, fight the net. In their own words, they want to, quote-unquote, fight the net as if it were an enemy operation system. They reference a recent cybersecurity conference, both in the DoD Buzz article and the BBC, where they basically say, while they're kind of talking shop around the lunch table, if I were to start a business today, I'd start a black cyber ops and cyber weapons development organization. Someone from a three-letter organization turns around, taps him on the shoulder, and said, I'll be your first customer. This article really just kind of lays it out. They talk about black cyber ops. They talk about black operations. They talk about deniability. The other thing that we do want to tie in is an important piece from Webster Tarpley, and it's available on tarpley.net. There's a video of him on Russia Today. Virtual flag terrorism is the next threat, and James and I think we both agree that virtual flag terrorism is a lot catchier and more to the point than black cyber operations.
Exactly. Yes, it is. And absolutely, this is such a crucial issue. I guarantee that a false flag cyber terror event is in the cards, and it's just a question of when they're going to try to lay it down. And as Tarpley points out in his article and in the video of him, it can get to the point where literally the government will just be able to say that any given event is an example of cyber terrorism, and how will we ever be able to question it? NSA servers have determined that the Russians are responsible for yesterday's train wreck, and literally, what will we ever be able to do to counteract that, because it's just coming from above? So we have to be aware that these...
That brings us full circle. That brings us full circle.
Yes. Well, we have to be aware that these systems are going to be used to scam us, and if we're aware of the scam, it doesn't work.